Hey, this is your host, Daphne Laforêt, and before we start with this week's episode, I really want to introduce you to our main partner for the podcast, Catalog. And I couldn't be more grateful and proud because what they have built is seriously a game changer. Catalog is a work hub that replaces a whole stack of tools with a single platform that centralizes your people, processes, and knowledge, and it's completely customizable. But what is next level is that it uses AI to mold instantly to the structure of your business, which means you can get started straight away. Using just a brief description, it builds a bespoke platform precisely configured to run your company operations all in a matter of seconds. It is structured and seamlessly connected, meaning work becomes visible, processes are automated, and collaboration is supercharged. So go ahead and get started at catalog.com. That's catalog with a Q, and let me know what you think.
Welcome to the Remote First podcast, produced by Modern Leaders. Every other Tuesday, listen in to hear from large or innovative companies enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Remote First podcast. This week, I am chatting with Michel Labie, Chief People Officer at the world's largest Remote First company pre-pandemic, TopTal. Welcome to the show, Michel.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad that you're joining this episode because I feel like we can learn so much from you. You have like a lot of experience in your field and as Chief People Officer, but also like all the experience you have before. And TopTal itself also is kind of a classic company that I've been following for years, you know, that has been into the world of remote work and enabling remote work for years. So I'm really excited to have you. It's going to be really nice to have you. I would love to hear a bit more before we kind of dig deep in tons of different topics that, you know, going to be really fun to do. Like, what's the history like of TopTal, like how it started and like how it kind of like became a bit renowned as a remote first company?
Sure. So TopTal, we're in our 13th year. So we've been around for quite a while before the, as you said, before the remote world started. Tasso Duval started our company and he was looking for talent. So TopTal is top talent is what really it stands for. And we never have had an office. So not since day one was there an office. We have been a remote first company since the day of inception. And it really started with him trying to find engineers. He's an engineer by trait. So he was looking for engineers and couldn't find them where he was living in California at the time, and decided to look everywhere and just say, you know what? I don't care where somebody is. I want the best people working on these projects. And so that's kind of been the philosophy of TopTal. So we have, you know, we say we're the top 3% of talent across the world. We're probably the top two. We're very picky about who we let into our network. There's a lot of other companies that have come up and are doing something where you can sign up for their network and get staffed with a client. But for us, we do a lot of not even background check is nothing. It's really, we do that, but it's also more of the technology tests, the assessments. I mean, you have to go through a lot of phases to get into our network. So we have a network of engineers and designers and project managers and product managers and financial experts, and we're going to be expanding more and more. So, you know, these companies that are doing layoffs or don't want to bring on additional headcount can come to TopTal and say, you know, I want to hire 10 engineers to work on a project for 6 months because we want that expertise, but we don't necessarily want to hire them full time. And so with all the stuff that's going on in the economy today, you know, with people and layoffs and all of that stuff, I mean, TopTal is a great network that we've seen people start to tap into. We start during COVID as well. So during COVID, when everybody left the offices and, you know, people didn't know how to work remotely, they tapped on us for that as well. Because it didn't matter where we had people. We're in 100 different countries all over the world. So,
and how did it evolve? Because you were like pre-pandemic, TopTal was already out there as like one of the top remote work employer. I would say like as an employer for your own company, but also for enabling people to find jobs anywhere else. Like, how did it evolve, you know, if you compare like 2018 and maybe 2022, like how different is it?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So, you know, when the pandemic hit, nobody knew how long it was going to be, right? It's like, oh, this is 2 weeks. Oh, this is 4 weeks. Oh, this is going to be a month, right? But nobody really knew what was going to happen in the world. Mm-hmm. So we kind of hit the pause button to look around. And two things interestingly happened. Because we had always been remote, not much changed for us as a company at TopTel, right? So at TopTel, not much changed because people were working from home, had flexibility, did things that they needed to do. I would say for the TopTel, our team members, the only thing that changed is maybe their children were sitting next to them or their daycare. They were taking care of a baby. Mm-hmm. So they had their baby on camera. They were setting up their children next to them to call into school. So we were already flexible. It just required us to be a little bit more flexible. We did have something interesting happen. A lot of our clients started calling us and saying, oh my God, how do you do this remote thing? You know, we're all of a sudden remote. Like it just happened mm-hmm. overnight. Everyone's at home. No one's coming into the office. What did we do? So we put out something called the Suddenly Remote Playbook, and it's on our website. We gave it out to free for everybody. It's not something that costs any money. And it was more of our best practices and what we had learned over at that time, 10 years at TopTel of being fully remote, how to hire, what technology we need, how to onboard people, how to train them, really just how to develop a culture that's fully remote. So our finance person, our chief technology officer, and I really got together and our CEO and contributed a lot to this playbook that's still on our website for people. You know, I've always said that people have a leg up if they were in the office before because they know their employees, they trust them already versus they know what they do in person. So when they go home, yes, there's a lot of adjustments that you have to make, but you already know that those people are good workers. So it's really just trying to figure out how to make that shift.
And as a business, you know, for TopTel to be like provider of like remote talent. So I think what I was wanting to know also is more like before the whole pandemic, your own business was successful in 2018 as like, you know, somebody who's providing like top talent. In 2022, like if we take away from what happened, like the experiment of the pandemic, there was a before and after, but then like there was the change that was difficult. But like, who you are today, like, is there like, I guess it must have grown a lot, like the demand for remote talent, or like now that you're saying that there is the tech layoff, maybe there was a thing that went down and then it's going back up because the demand is changing. Like, can you walk me through that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been a roller coaster, right? Because when things happen, I feel like everybody pauses for a minute, right? To kind of see what happened. Like, and the pandemic started and then we paused and then it came back tenfold because all of these people needed our services because, you know, everybody has obligations to their investors or the market, whatever it is, right? To hit numbers. So even though people aren't in the office, they still need to accomplish their goals. So TopTel saw a lot of increase in demand coming in during the pandemic, after the pandemic, you know, it kept going, right? Because there was still this, people are in the office, they're not, they're hybrid, people are making folks come back to work, they didn't want to come back to work. So it was still a lot of uncertainty for, you know, up until the middle of last year, probably. And then, you know, different things happen in the world, like a war happens in Ukraine and Russia, then there's the recession, and there's still weird things going on all over the place. Is there a recession? Is there not a recession? And then, you know, come this fall, huge companies are starting to lay off. And really, you know, the big companies are laying off. I heard today that AWS was laying off 18,000 people.
Oh my God. It's just, it's so hard to hear all of these people losing their jobs.
Right. And these are huge, huge companies. And I think people scaled really quickly. It's been hypergrowth for the last few years. And I think now it's kind of, people are trying to take a pause and saying, maybe we grew too fast. Maybe we don't need as many of these folks as we need to. And really, what's the critical things that we need to work on? And so now people are kind of saying, oh, let's quietly walk into January and February and see what's going on in the world before we jump in and start opening roles and getting new clients and all of this stuff. I think, you know, people are kind of, let's see how it goes.
So how does it look like you think right now when they are, you know, going maybe more towards fractional hiring? How does it look like for companies? Are they just basically hiring for specific projects, or are they like, do you think every role can be done that way? Like, it doesn't necessarily work for everything.
Yeah, no, I don't think so at all. I think it's very project-based, or if you're building, you know, it's like having, and this is probably not a popular opinion, but it's like having recruiters that are contractors for me. I've always been someone that's wanted my recruiters tied to my company, right? Whatever company I was at, because they're part of the DNA, they're part of the culture, they understand what's going on. And I think that's really important. So there's no way that I think that companies can have contractors as the majority of their work, unless they're in build mode or something else. I feel like it's really project-based or skill set-based. If they need somebody with a specific detailed skill set or can program in a certain language or has a very tight deadline and needs to get something done in a very short amount of time or a long amount of time, but then are not going to need people long-term, it's really focusing on how they can supplement their workforce and hire for the special skills.
So all these massive layoffs that have been happening recently, you know, with Amazon, all of these massive companies that are laying off employees. If we look into it more as like the experience of the employee in that journey. So like if we think about it more as a distributed company only and not forgetting what it is for those who are in office, like what kind of impact do you think it will have on the culture of the company if like you say you lay off 20% for 15% of your headcounts?
I think it's hard, right? And it's always hard. It's hard if you're a big company. I mean, it's worse when you're a smaller company because you feel the impact more. These are people that you know, right? So yeah, Google or Amazon, you might not feel it as much because 18,000 people at Amazon is not, it's not a big number, right? To them, their overall headcount. But smaller companies really feel it. And I think it's really hard. I mean, we've established a remote culture since we've always been remote. And we do a lot of things to make sure that people feel part of our culture. We measure a lot of stuff around our engagement metrics. Everything we do is on Zoom and Slack. So we're not an email company. So we have Slack channels where we have book clubs and fitness challenges and pet lovers and, you know, Halloween costume contests for our pets, or we do garden club, or, you know, at the end of last year, we did a cookbook. Well, 2 years ago, we did a cookbook. Last year, we had our logo around the world. And so we had people that from all over the world were participating in these end of year projects. And so we really give them a lot of engagement tools and opportunities. We do gut check surveys. My people team checks in with people. We do what we call stay interviews just to see, you know, how people are doing, how people are feeling. If there was a change in their manager, a change in their department, or something big that changed. We do a lot of that. We make sure people have the benefits and the support that they need. So it's as many touch points as you can so that people feel part of the culture is step one. But then step two, and which is something that we do a lot, is transparency. We are a very transparent company. So we have all hands meetings every month and we talk about our numbers and we talk about what's going on in the world and we talk, you know, and we show like we're going up this month or we're going down this month or whatever it is so that people understand what's going on. And it's not always great because a lot of us are at the mercy of our clients or the economy, right? Or the industry, it just depends what's happening. And so it's really taking the time to make sure that people coming or going are respected. I mean, I have always been somebody that feels like you treat somebody going out the door the way you treated them coming in the door, right? And so, you know, I had a lot of people I know impacted by layoffs and I've given references. I've called friends for them. You know, it's really the support system that people have. And, you know, also knowing that they're back open to rehire, right? If something changes, they're the first person that we're calling back. I think that that's important.
Yeah.
Because companies, if you're great and you have to downsize, it doesn't mean the bad people left. So it's really trying to help those people and show compassion. And, or if there's something internally that just because they didn't work out in one department, is there another department that their skill set could, you know, use? I mean, I will tell you, we had a junior recruiter program that we are very proud of that we do every year. And we slowed hiring on Q4. And we punted a bunch of our junior recruiters over to the sales team. And because recruiting, you're selling the company, and sales, you're selling our services. And those folks are doing amazing over there. So it's also trying to rehome people internally, even train them, give them additional skill sets and training to try to be successful in another role. So I think if, as long as you're transparent and you help, and you know, even for us, when everybody left during the Great Resignation, whatever, which is not also that was short-lived, we have a lot of people that have tried to come back. So a lot of boomerang employees who...
The grass is not always greener.
No, no, no. And we saw that, you know, people left for money or to try something else or whatever they wanted to say. But we also had a lot of people that wanted to come back after a short period of time. And so I think, you know, those are stories that we share on our all hands meetings. I talk about people that move internally. I talk about people that have left and come back. I talk about what we're seeing. So it's really, you know, I think people appreciate the honesty and the transparency, which is just part of our culture. It always has been. And you have to do that being remote because it's not like you're going to pass people in the hall and hear what's going on. It doesn't work that way, right? So you have to do it in meetings.
Yeah, I was wondering that, like, if it was to happen to you and you're a fully remote company and you don't necessarily have the peer support close by in a difficult time when you lost your job, or maybe you're like another one who lost the job or you feel terrible. But if you are distant, so if you are in a distributed team, like, how does it impact you psychologically differently than if you were able to, like, kind of like, oh, I got no bad news, and then you go to the drink with the folks and just kind of like talk about what just happened that is horrible, you know?
Well, I have heard of people that do, and I know that we've done like virtual happy hours even after people leave, right? Because there are times when people need to leave, digest what happened to them. You know, you necessarily don't want something that day or the next day, but making sure that you're still checking in on those people and saying, how are you? Whether it's their boss, their peer, following up with them, offering support and guidance. I think that that's just hugely important. We do this thing called top towns. So we are very fully distributed, but we also have, ironically, people in buckets in places. You know, so I have a large population in Romania, for instance, and there's a lot of people that live, you know, within an hour or so, not right next door, but within time. And people take time to get together many times throughout the year, and we give them a stipend to like kind of go out and have drinks or coffee or whatever it is. We do promote a local network, even though we're fully distributed, because we have a map on our intranet of where everybody is and how close you are to folks, and you can sort it by that. You know, we promote people getting together.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt, founder of Modern Leaders, a consulting collective enabling you to walk the talk and scale your company for the remote-first future. Our team comes from over a decade of distributed team leadership experience, where we work with organizations from 25 to 5,000 employees. And I am so excited to have put together this podcast to share with you everything that we've been learning over the years. This is the Remote First Podcast.
It reminds me when you were talking about, you know, what happened after. I used to work for a company that when we left, actually one employee that left the company, we loved each other so much in that company that when you leave sometime, you're actually quite heartbroken because you're really close with all these people and you really like them. And professionally, maybe it was also people that were really, that really helped you professionally. So that person created a Slack channel that was called the company alumni. And then each time somebody left the company, they joined that Slack. I'm like, oh, and the new one is coming and joining us. Like, and then maybe it became like almost a second company that, like, if just when there was a rollout, some people just wanting to tag along and keep the connections with people if they either left themselves, even if they were like laid off, or like sometimes all the time people were just really getting close together. And this is, I think, to me, this really shows how strong a culture at a company is when this happens, when people still want to tag along and be together after they leave a company.
Yes. I mean, we have an alumni network through LinkedIn, not through Slack, but I really like that idea. Actually. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I've done that at a lot of companies. I do feel that if you left voluntarily and maybe you were here for 5 years or 6 years and you want to go and do something else and come back, or you want to refer your friends, because it's good to keep up with what the company, you know, you spend a good portion of your life there and you've made connections. So I think that's, I love that.
Another question I have is around, it feels to me like when I see all of these layoffs, I just imagine all of these talents that are like a mass, like it's almost like a city, like ton amount of people that suddenly like come from like extremely desirable companies. So they like, you know, they have a good pedigree, let's say, and they're just out in this world, kind of like waiting for the next opportunity. Like, how do you think like this is going to spread back? Because there's a lot of people looking for jobs all at once. Maybe there's not enough jobs because everybody's kind of like on hold. So, you know, what's going to happen? Are they going to just like stay there and not get any other jobs? Or should they just wait and see, you know? Or
they could freelance. I don't know. They could join a network and freelance.
Yeah, join TopTal.
they could, right? Like, it's interesting. I've heard a lot of people that are like, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm going to take a few months and off and see what happens, mm-hmm. right? Because people work so hard and nobody takes time off. They go from job to job and, you know, everything shows nobody ever takes even near amount of the vacation days that they ever have. I've also heard of a lot of people that are like, you know what? I'm going to take some time and figure out what I want to do next. I was in this job, but I've been in it for 10 years. And I might not want to be in this job. It's interesting. I had somebody that was a recruiter for me, a tech recruiter. He decided he wanted to not be a recruiter anymore because he was tired of talking to people. So he became an engineer. So he went into our engineering program, an intern program, was an engineer for a year. And then now he's like, I don't even know if that's what I want to do. I'm going to go travel the world. And so he just left and was like, I've saved up money. I'm going to go live in a bunch of different countries and I'm going to figure out what I want to do. Maybe I want to be a farmer. I'm like, good for you. Go figure out what you want to do. And I know not everybody has that luxury, but you know, I think when things happen like this in the world, it gives you a minute to reflect and kind of say, am I happy in the job that I'm doing? Is there something that I'm better qualified for? You know, is there something I can also try differently? Because you're always, everyone's going so quickly. And like, you never stop and think, like, is this job making me happy? Like, is this what I want to be doing for the next 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is?
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, it's like before the whole movement of remote work, for example, as a personal story, it's like, for me, it was like, I want to find a way to be flexible and just focus on my lifestyle first. And then work kind of like lives around my life instead of the other way around, you know, trying to fit my life around my work. So to me at the beginning, like, early 20s, I was like, whatever it is, I just want a remote job. And it's not okay. Because then after, you know, you get a first remote job and you don't really like it. And then you kind of like still, you know, go to work and you don't really like what you're doing. And then finally, you know, get a first start of a career and then think, actually, like, this might be the well-paid role. Like, it's actually the best paid role I can get remotely. It's really good salary, but I'm not really having fun at that job or something. I'm really like thinking that every day I'm happy to open my laptop. And then moving towards like, okay, how can I have a lifestyle but also love what I'm doing every day and be excited about what I do every day? And I think that's my own personal path that I am on personally right now. I just focus on like what really like light me up every day, you know, and I want to be doing this every day. And it's not just because it's remote that it's the best job that you can have, you know?
Yeah. And that's when COVID hit and everybody went home that first month, March or whatever it was, April, we were getting like 10,000 applications a month. People would search remote company. And we at the time were like one of the few only remote companies started getting, you know, and people were applying with no skill set or maybe a skill set that matched one of our open jobs. And we'd get them on the phone. It's like, why do you want to work at TopTal? Because you're remote. It's like, no. That's not the answer. Like if you, that was what you kept saying during an interview. And even today, like that's not what, you know, you're not moving along in the interview process. That doesn't tell me anything. That just tells me you don't want to go into an office every day. It doesn't tell me you're passionate about us or the job or anything else.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's just, if they want that, then you know, they rather do something that is a bit more like clock in, clock out. I do my job and I log in and I log out, you know. But if you actually want to grow your career and have something, like, there is more than just the fact that you can work digitally.
That's how you know if someone's not working out here, right? Like even at TopTal, if they're not engaged in any channels or they're not speaking on calls and they're not, you know, it's just kind of a job for them. Like this is not the place. It's like you want to build your career, then TopTal's the place. And so it's really the difference, you're right, of a job versus a career.
Yeah, definitely. You've been writing something or actually interviewed on CNBC recently, and you were talking about also the, like the right now, like the big, big challenge for HR is like retention. Like that's what is like the most important. Could you just develop a bit about this and what you mean by that?
Yeah. So I think It started to me last year when we started with the Great Resignation, right? And everybody was leaving or trying new things and all of that. So people started leaving for other reasons. And I really wanted to focus on why people are leaving. Are you leaving for more money? Are you leaving because you're bored? Are you leaving because you've been here for a certain amount of time and you want to try something new, right? And so one of the things we looked at internally is retention. And definitely it's something that's continued and we keep building upon it. But what are we doing for our internal folks to feel like they can start a career over, but still stay at TopTel, right? And it's a combination of things. Like we do a lot of training. We offer job shadowing. We on our intranet have a list of every job at the company and the skills, soft skills, hard skills, what it takes for each job. And so that people, if they're tired of doing something, they don't feel like they have to say like, I'm going to go look for another job outside of TopTel. It's what can I do internally? And measuring that by engagement. So I have had I can name off the top of my head lately, there was somebody that was a senior marketing manager that had been in marketing for 15 years. And she was like, I'm just tired of marketing. I don't know if I really want to do it anymore. And we moved her into recruiting and she went through our junior recruiter program and is a great recruiter now. And she's like, I never would have thought that I was going to want to do this, you know, or I've moved recruiters into sales, as I said, right? Like, because they were tired of certain things moving, you know, we move people all the time. And I really think that that's really important of being able to say, and then we talk about it. Like, you know, we post jobs internally. We show what the skill set is to get there. We help people get there. We have LinkedIn Learning that we give to employees or Udemy for like training courses. We have a mentor program. We offer a whole bunch of different things and avenues to show, look, you can advance your career here. You don't have to go anywhere. You know, we also have a high potential program. So people that want to get into leadership can get into this program and get additional outside coaching. So really just investing in your people, right? Because people will leave, mm-hmm. people will come back. But when the Great Resignation happened, people were leaving. You know, they were like the carrot was getting dangled in front of them for whatever it was. So we also did that. And the other thing that we did is we really started focusing and building intern programs. So we hired 100 engineering interns last year because tech folks are hard to find. But we decided to hire entry-level folks with very minimal experience and train them up. And that program has been so successful that within 6 to 9 months, our junior engineers are almost the same as a senior engineer. They have been trained well. Mm-hmm. And so we're making really that investment in people, whether it's training, opportunity, additional benefits, really just focusing internally and listening to our folks and hearing what they want is hugely important.
And I guess once there is a big layoff happening and you are the employees who are staying, like you need to make sure you care for those and you make sure that these people won't let you down because now you really need them because you actually cut down everything. And then if you want a business going, you need the people to stay and still be motivated. So,
right, because it's hard because now you... Yeah. Now in a lot of places, you're asking somebody to do the job of two people, right? Because when you do a layoff, mm-hmm. you're not hiring somebody else. It's like becomes more work, right? And or more stress or whatever it is. And so that's much harder.
Do you think that remote work has an impact on retention in any way? Like I actually saw your conference a few months ago. Yeah, I went to your conference a few months ago and then it was about employee experience and they were Someone speakers showed like their strategy and then basically in retention, remote work or was kind of like a key word for like as part of their chart of everything. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But like what's your take on that?
I think 100%. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's ever going to say, I'm excited to go back to an office 5 days a week. Right. I mean, maybe if they don't like their surroundings. But I think that remote work just offers the ultimate flexibility, right? Your dog is at your feet. You can walk your dog as many times a day, or you can get your kids off the bus, or you can go to the gym in the morning, or you can go to the dentist and, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning if you need to, right? Because it's more about the flexibility. You're not spending time commuting. You're not spending money on a wardrobe. You can work anywhere. You can go visit your parents or friends or try a new location. It's just the ultimate flexibility from what I see. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And once you go remote, it's really hard to go back. The one thing that I have found, the one caveat to that is you have to have a network. So I once hired somebody a few years back that had moved to a new state and she was excited for this job and remote work. And she was, you know, early in her career and she moved to Austin, Texas, but she didn't know anybody. She just wanted to live there. And so she was working out of a small apartment and was not happy. And it was really because she didn't have a network outside of her job, right? So as long as you have somebody, you know, if you have friends that are local or groups that you're involved with or the gym that you go to or something, otherwise remote work, if you're just a one person that's sitting in one place and you don't have a life outside of your job, then it's challenging, mm-hmm. you know, because you do want to leave your house and go somewhere and see friends and do things. But if you're just in your box on Zoom and that's all you have, and then you get off, you know, you end work for the day, but you don't have a network locally around you, then it's challenging.
Do you think it could actually act against retention in a way? Like, I'm always liking to be a devil's advocate sometime because I personally think that for me, it is a big part of retention in a company if like I can keep that freedom. But I'm wondering like how could it, could a company not do things right where actually remote work is making people leave because of maybe how remote work is done in that company?
I think there's two different things. One is, I don't think you can be a remote person. Hybrid, I think, is the hardest, right? Hybrid is, or if you're the remote person and half the other company is, and there's still people in the office, right? And I've always worked at companies, interestingly enough, who've had people working from home, but those people always feel like they're missing out because you're on a conference call, you hang up, the people are still talking in the room, but you've hung up, or you're missing the hallway conversations, or you're missing what's really going on in the office all day long. So I think hybrid is actually more difficult. But there are some people
who... That's what every company wants to do though.
Right. And I think if that's what you want in your life and you're totally fine, and it depends what you want, right? Are you somebody that's like, you know, I want to quickly climb the ladder, or you're earlier in your career. I think people earlier in their career want the interaction of the office to meet new people. Whether if you're sitting at home and have three kids and you're like, no, I just need to get my kids off the bus and do my job and not worry about what's going on in or office politics. Because when you have an office, you also have politics because there is this hybrid of, are they working? They're not there. And there's still people that, you know, in this day and age that are like, believe in FaceTime. If I can't see you work, then you're not working, which is so old and antiquated at this point. But it can work both ways. There are people that crave being around of a lot of folks, right? And they might want an office job. They need that stimulation all day long to be around people, to feel people around them. I mean, everybody's different, but from what I'm hearing, that's really the minority of people that want to even go into an office anymore.
Yeah. And I think we are a little bit biased because our networks are always talking about remote work. So I know that there's also the other side completely where that is knowledge workers, but really from very, very classic backgrounds, environments that for them, office is definitely what's going to happen. And what they will do is they will do like, we are office on site. And but we are like really pro remote, so you can do one day a week of remote work, come back to this, you know, but or they call themselves hybrid, but they still kind of lock the chains to their employees saying you have to be there 2-3 days a week in the office so you cannot move somewhere else. Or, you know, this is just what my opinion is. But what would you say to companies who are really saying, okay, we are hybrid, maybe for example, when we were a manufacturing company, we want to make sure that we kind of offer both. And for some recruiters or talent acquisition people, it's like the best of both worlds because they think that it's like, well, you know, everybody's happy. If some people want the office, we offer the office. People want remote, we have remote. But then how is the employee experience like equal for everybody? I don't think they are really there yet in how they are like strategizing on employee experience. What's your 2 cents on this? So like,
yeah, I mean, there are people that I know that are like, oh, I'm going to go in the office next week. I haven't been in a few months. I'm going to go in. And then they go in and no one's there. right? And so unless it's scheduled, so you can say, hey, on the first Tuesday of every month, we're going to have breakfast and lunch and we'd love to see your faces and come in, then you're building the community. But if you leave it to mm-hmm. everybody else, you know, you could go in and not see anybody in your department. You cannot see anybody. I mean, I've heard this from my friends who are like, oh, I went in and like, nobody's there. So unless your whole team plans on going in one day or, you know, trying to make it so it's a group activity, then, you know, if you just leave it to everybody and they're like, sure, we'd love to see you one day a week. Who's in? Is the boss in 5 days a week to see who comes in one day a week? You know, it needs to kind of be a coordinated effort to make people feel like there's a reason that they're going in. And the reason is to have a meeting or see their peers or do something, not just to like walk in to prove that they didn't move across the country.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically why people are leaving their offices. Before we finish and close the episode, I'd love to just hear a wish that you have for 2023, for the industry, for remote work, for the layoffs, things happening. What's your wish for 2023?
My wish is that things stabilize, I think. I mean, there's always been uncertainty, right? Forever. Like that's just change and uncertainty. But we've had a lot of uncertainty in a very short period of time the last few years. And it's like everyone's on a roller coaster, right? It's like, you know, there's people that I have on maternity leave that their husbands still can't be in the room. Like I have somebody on my team giving birth today, right? And so it would just be lovely to just kind of like have a moment where COVID is gone and now, you know, the recession, are we in one or we're not one? Or, you know, just some kind of, just a period of calm. And calm is a relative term because no one's ever going to be calm. Yeah, peace and calm, but like just not so much chaos, right? So that people can really focus, everything can course correct, the jobs that people want come available, like, you know, and for companies to kind of take it slow so that they don't have to go crazy one way and then have to correct so dramatically. Because it's a roller coaster.
Amen to this.
Yeah. And it will stresses people out. It make, you know, the pressure. It's not good for anybody's mental health. So, you know, and then worrying, am I going to lose my job? Is this going to happen? Oh my God. You know, so it just would be, I just want some stability.
It'd be great.
Yes.
Well, I really wish the same. Thank you so much for, you know, joining on the podcast. And I'm going to look forward to see like how things evolve also at TopTal and follow along. Thank you for joining, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.